Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. Back in the present, the Mystery Punchers recuperated after defeating their brain worms. Adrian absorbed a part of himself back into his mind. Richter studied their growing web of conspiracies, and Red discovered a new threat that they needed to chase down and punch. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
When the Mystery Punchers return to pick up the box left by the Ambrosia Institute on their doorstep, you instead only find a small pile of ash and a burn mark, as the box seems to have combusted since you opened it. As the ash curls and blows away, you close and lock the door, yet again feeling the unsettling feeling of eyes watching you from somewhere you can't quite see. You find yourselves at a bit of an impasse. You currently have several available cases, and the tale we'll be telling tonight is the story of how the Mystery Punchers decided what to do next and why. You currently, I would venture a guess to say, don't actually necessarily have enough information to act on any of these. So this will likely require a bit of town investigation, asking around, that sort of thing. But essentially the question I pose to you is, what do you want to do next? So give it a moment to think about it. To recap, the major open case files you have, The new mayor, Montgomery Greaves, seems to be part of a small cabal of people who've taken over. Donnie Splinter and Richard Chen. Richard seems to be in the process of building vaguely mythosy buildings at sites throughout the city, all of which convene, unfortunately, on the cursed church site. So that has been a serious cause for concern for Richter, particularly. I think the idea of an architectural threat is, even on Red's scale of weird shit that's happening, kind of like a, yeah, okay. Also, buildings take a while to get built, so slightly less pressing, but somewhat concerning. Monty Greaves is buying up the city, which is somewhat concerning. You're not entirely sure of his intentions or how he fits into anything, only that the worm instructed both Richter and Adrian that he was the man for the job as soon as Tallahassee was out of the picture. You have the mystery of Tallahassee, which has gone cold, unfortunately. His mad scientist, quote, wife, was clearly up to something, but unfortunately the building was destroyed before you could find out much more information. So that lead has currently gone cold. It does, however, seem that there are weird technological things afoot elsewhere in the world that might be linked to the ray gun you have. You have the gun. You have Richter, again, asking you to finish up your business so you can come with him to investigate other things. He doesn't seem to be in a tremendous hurry, so you don't need to worry about that too much, but it is something that is currently open. You Reinheimer. Have... Sorry? Sorry, Reinheimer. Yes, yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yes,
like,
yes,
I'm not asking you. No. Reinheimer's asking
yes,
me. Okay.
My apologies.
My notes just say Ray Gun Reinheimer.
you have the framing of Red and the shoelaces for the massacre with Donatel Splinter and his splinter cell of gangsters having left the Capone Syndicate seemingly to take over Helmfirth, which they have now commenced doing as the... new law and order in town. You have the unfollowed up on, but also not seemingly urgent threat of Innismeth, of the woman who escaped, and the possible knowledge that bad things might be afoot there. You now have a lead to the Ambrosia Institute in the famed city of Arkham. And, now, not only do you have the sort of ongoing mystery of Benny and what happened to him after the incident at the Corbett House, but also the disappearance of Devin Carroll and Mayor Haney, seemingly done by the Ambrosia Institute. So those are kind of the big ones that you have on the go.
All right, so I think we gotta go fight the water monster, right? We just gotta knock that one out.
Well, Addy, are you referring to the creature that we lost track of in the ocean?
Yeah, because you said that we'd do that later. We just go to Innsmouth and then kill the monsters.
I don't think that's a pressing issue, Addy. We have a man's finger in a disintegrated box right now, and that concerns me.
My thinking is this, okay? We have out-of-town problems and in-town problems. And I think for us to leave Helmfort in its current condition, knowing what we know, is irresponsible of us. I think we need to settle the things here before we move out of Helmfort to address these other matters.
So what you're saying is, like, when I look at the newspaper and it says us versus them, we need to focus on us.
Yeah, that is one way of looking at it. Another way I would put it is, imagine it is raining and your roof has a leak. But there is also, let's say, a carnival out of town.
Okay.
And so you could drive to the carnival, or
yeah.
you could stay and repair your roof so that your house does not fall apart.
Richter, he's going to choose the carnival.
Yeah, I'm going to.
This is a bad metaphor.
Why would he choose a carnival? His house is leaking.
Because there's birthday cake at a carnival, Richter.
I think I've got enough money for tickets to this carnival. Okay, I think we should go to the carnival.
But what about your house?
What house? There's a carnival.
Okay, Richter, like, has
there's
to, like,
no hole
think
in the roof
about...
Here.
Richter, it's is how there... long have you been adventuring with us now?
I think...
Two weeks. It hasn't been a long time.
That's enough to understand Adrian's way of thinking.
Let me put this another way then. There is two carnivals. One is out of town, but there is also one in town.
Okay.
The one in town, one of the rides is not well taken care of. Only you know this, and it's up to you to repair the ride so that people can get on it.
I work at this carnival.
No, you just have the information.
Because I tried to get that boat job, and that didn't work out.
That's all right. That's not what we're talking about here.
They told me I couldn't fix boats because I break them.
We're talking about that you know there's something wrong with the Ferris wheel at the local carnival. Now you can choose to go to the local carnival and fix the Ferris wheel and enjoy the carnival there in town, or go out of town to a carnival and leave the broken Ferris wheel, which could fall apart, it could hurt someone, it could be a real disaster.
So what you're saying is I have to choose between two carnivals, one where they make me work and the other where I just get to enjoy myself.
Yeah, no one is making you do anything. I'm telling you, you have a choice, Addy.
Two carnivals, both alike in dignity, in Fair Helmfirth, where we lay our scene.
But wouldn't the other carnival have, like, a wet monster that's eating people?
It would have, like a wet monster ride, yeah.
I hate to say this, but I think your metaphor kind of tried to rig the deck. Hold on a second.
You know the word metaphor, but you cannot conceptualize a leaky roof, Addy?
Well, there's no leak in my roof.
Okay, so you cannot. You cannot conceptualize.
Boys, if we could all just take a breath, put the metaphors down, metaphorically speaking. And Richter, I tend to agree with you in the sense that we should probably clear up what's going on here first. I do not like being framed for murders I have not committed. It vexes me.
I have committed murders, and they're not giving you credit for those. They're attributing other murders to you.
Exactly. Right. I want credit for the murders that I do commit.
But I thought we weren't supposed to tell the police that you killed all those people outside Richard's shop.
Oh, no, we're not going to.
But that's murders you did.
She didn't. Reinheimer killed everyone outside of my shop. She killed everyone in my shop.
I did shoot several people. Now,
okay, she only wants half.
We'll go with that. For now, I think we should clear up these messes in town that we have either been a part of or fallen victim to. Whether that means taking down this new mayor and his group entirely, or running them out of town, putting them to sleep.
For some reason, it did not seem important at the time. But I do recall, now that we've had worms extracted from our brains, I do recall we watched a woman explode her house and we kind of just left. And that seems rather pressing.
Yes, the whole worms for brains is very alarming to me.
So what are we going to do?
Richter, can you please roll me a mythos check?
That's a fail. Are you looking for mythos or a cult?
Sorry, a cult.
Okay, because my mythos cap is 18.
Like, yeah, it started at zero.
Building it up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's my bad.
You're looking for a cult?
I am.
Okay. So that's a, where'd you go? Regular success.
So It was very clear that you and Adrian were under the thrall of the Great Suggester. However, you also seemingly destroyed the tribute that had been brought to it.
Being so the hearts in, yes. in our dreamscape? Okay. Yeah.
You're not quite sure, obviously, what the hearts mean or what they relate to, but it occurs to you, Richter, that none of you are actually certain if the town is still under the thrall of the worms or not. Yours were physically extracted from you, but this is a detail you have not yet investigated.
Richter kind of thinking about seeing like the house blowing up and stuff like that and how that seems way more important now than it did before for some reason. Then, yeah, the, just follows the train of thought of like, we had the worms extracted from our brains by the good doctor, veterinarian. What of everyone else in town who was perhaps under the effects of these worms? Did Addy and I, defeating the giant worm in our dreams, have any effect on them? Do they need to have their worms extracted? What happens if the worm stays in?
Well, that's going to be a pleasant conversation. I think that's a question of just asking people who they think the right man for the job is.
Well, Red, you were never indoctrinated.
No.
Did you spot anyone else who was acting strangely like Addy and myself?
Did I?
It was the whole town. Everyone was like, oh, he's the right man for the job.
Oh.
Like, it was thinking back on who you heard refer to TJate as the right man for the job. Like, it was like they'd only recorded 5 lines of NPC dialogue, and they were just on a loop of people being like, "Oh yes, right man for the job."
The whole town in general seemed to be quite under this
the
strange
whole town.
Spell.
Now, admittedly. Red, from your experience, you can't tell whether everyone had the worms or whether it was just enough people were being vocal with the worms that crowd mentality formed, but it, enough to be concerning for sure.
Okay, so we take one person at a time and then we take him to the doctor veterinarian and we say, pull the worm out, and then they'll see their younger selves and get smarter.
I have a feeling that these people will not be coming voluntarily, Addy, and frankly, I don't want to have to try to coerce an entire town's worth of people to come get some imaginary worm.
Yeah, that's why I said one at a time, because then we just put them in the car and then they get better, and then they'll help us.
I think we can make better use of our time, respectfully.
Okay.
I do think it's worth following up on a few people. And seeing
some
what
key
the general,
individuals?
Yeah, and seeing what the general tone is in town,
like Mayor Greaves and Splinter and that guy Chun.
Sorry, what was that last name?
Chun.
He is talking about Rick Chen, city planner slash architect,
with the spooky buildings.
Yes, he was building or planning to build. But appear to be temples on ley lines. These are all very good individuals to investigate and all kind of surrounding the same issue of the brain worms.
It's
a good idea.
Though? He has my poog.
Do we have his finger or did it get burnt up in the box?
It got burnt up.
Okay.
Devin apparently is fine as long as we don't come looking for him or this... asset it was talking about, and I don't know what that is, but I don't know Devin that well, to be perfectly honest, and I would rather focus on what's going on in town, and then if what these people are saying is true and they won't harm him, we can go focus on him a bit later.
Well, but Devin was very, very close with Benny, and
yes, and Benny's dead.
Well, now hold on, and I'll like pull out Benny's hand, and say, "May I borrow the decoder ring for a moment?"
Sure.
Rings are meant to be worn on one's hand, so we have one's hand, and there may be a reaction here. We don't know. And I just slip the ring onto Benny's hand.
Nothing happens.
Hmm.
Very good. And I'll just, like, slip the ring off, hand it back to you. He's like, well, now we know.
Now we know.
Richter, can you roll me an int check, please?
34. Oh, dang, dude. Hard success.
It occurs to you you've never seen Benny's hand do anything while you've been looking at it.
Hmm. And I'll say, one more moment, please. Could I have the ring back once more?
Okay.
Thank you, Addy. I'll slip it on the ring and I'll put his hand in my pocket and just see if I can feel any
movement. You feel a shifting, as though the ring is moving.
Benny, you rascal. little gun shy, a little stage fright from Benny here. Give him a moment and we'll wait for him to settle down and then we'll see what he has for us.
Yeah, so this is fucked up.
The following process takes longer than you would like, but it's an unfortunate...
I'm just standing there with my pocket kind of bulging and moving.
You have to just keep pulling it out to get each... When it stops, you pull it out, you get one letter.
Right.
So it starts as like an everyone standing around feeling uncomfortable, and then it takes like a good hour. But by the end of it, you have... Oh, sorry, no, it doesn't take an hour. I lied. It takes half an hour. Also, because the ring is moving very slowly, it's not like a quick spin. But you eventually get the word fake.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that. Now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
What could that... I understand what the word means, but what does it mean?
Well, it could be this ring came to Addy, courtesy of the Ambrosia Institute, so it could be that it was sent to him under false pretenses. It could be a fake ring. It could be the threat of violence against Devon is fake.
Why don't we ask him another question and put him back in your pocket?
I'll allow it.
Very good. What would you like the question to be, Addy?
What's fake?
An hour and 20 minutes later, you get the word finger.
Oh!
So interesting.
Fingers from something else.
Or indeed an entirely false finger. Unfortunately, we don't have it anymore, so we cannot know for certain.
So that might mean that Devon isn't captured.
Yeah. Yeah, it could very well be the case.
I am liking this Ambrosia Academy less and less. Now,
Well, then I would be inclined to agree with you, Red, that Devin's predicament is not as pressing as perhaps we once thought. Benny seems to be saying that the finger is a fake, and so we can assume that Devon is not in danger currently. He may not even have been apprehended. Do we have any way of contacting him?
I don't.
Well, he said he'd be here, and then he wasn't here.
Yeah,
you
sent word to the dead drop. He indicated you should.
I don't think we should jump the gun in the sense that we should assume that he's not captured, because at the end of the day, he isn't here. That in and of itself is suspicious, but perhaps he's not in the kind of danger that we thought he was in. And thus, I personally would like to investigate the people in charge of the town now, because I feel like it's all one big...
I think that is an excellent idea. If after all, if we don't have our homes, what do we have?
We've got my home.
Yes, we do.
They delivered a combustible box to your doorstep and we did not see anyone coming or going. It would seem that they are quite capable of infiltrating your home as well. Addy, there is a gate out front, and they still came up to the door.
That's okay, they're fake.
For now, they're fake.
Yeah, that's why we're not worrying about that, like you both said.
I suppose it's best if Addy is not worried, he says to Red. Just like, if he is not panicking, it's probably...
We're going to keep it that way, better. Richter.
Okay.
Should I be scared?
No, you shouldn't.
What should I feel?
Confidence, honey. We're going to figure everything out.
I'm doing a great job.
Yes, you are.
I can't fail.
No, you can't.
And with that, Addy, you march upstairs to the room you earmarked for Grandpa Richard, which is your parents' room. And you walk impressively up to the closet, throw it open, and inside hang several pairs of fresh, still-pressed tuxedo pants.
Oh, I'm going to put on two of them. And he takes down one pair of pants and puts them on, and then he puts another pair of pants on over top.
What do you say to your ghost dad, who you killed in the mirror as you do this?
Okay, so I'm sorry that I killed you, but I feel like we had a real moment of connection at the hardware store where I didn't go crazy. So I think... what this really means is that you're not a ghost, you're me. And that means my dad is living on inside me. And that's kind of magical, because you're always going to be in my heart. So I love you, Dad.
And then I'll kiss the mirror.
Fantastic. You kiss the mirror, nod to it, and then go back to putting on your pants, entirely missing that the mirror continues to watch you do so. You come back downstairs full of confidence and joy, and you are ready to fucking punch some mysteries. So with that, the gang gears up to head back into town. As you'll remember, the sort of richer neighborhood is on the edge of town, atop a hill. You head back into town. So the vibe in Helmfirth is a bit weird right now. Obviously, the massacre is still fresh in everyone's mind. There is almost a shell-shocked sense. I will say there's an interesting mix of reactions to it, only because so many people did serve in the First World War, or as it was called then, the World War.
The Great War.
The Great War, because there will only be one.
Right. That's great.
Totally.
That's
great.
People who served in the war are generally upset by this, but also have seen some shit. But also Helmfirth is a small enough town that a lot of people have never been touched by a tragedy such as this. There's been, as with any port town, a lot of kind of tragedy on the water, but something like mafia gang violence is an entirely fresh hell for these people. So, yeah, there's a very skittish tone to the town, particularly in contrast to the excitement last time you were all here. What is your strategy for determining the lingering effects of the worm?
I think for Red, it would be just going up to townspeople and just being like, what do you think of the new mayor? Like, you know.
Like interviewing townspeople?
Yeah, just casually. Just, you know, to get a sense of whether it's like, he's the man for the job, or whether it's actually like real people thoughts.
Gotcha. So, Red, you identify someone you remember from school. She was a few years ahead of you. She was, in fact, one of the quote-unquote cool kids who hung out in the high school washroom. And you remember vaguely that you and Sally used to joke about this lady quite a bit because she was dating a man named Ernie Normus. And you were, and this was again, like, as particularly like after your heart to heart with Sally. About puberty and Sally swearing for the first time. The idea of like uncouth words that you shouldn't get to say, but both took great pleasure in saying, became kind of a runner for the two of you. So it was that you both just desperately hoped that things would work out for her and Ernie, because the idea of Dixie McDonough becoming Dixie Normus made you guys so happy. And sure enough, you see her walking with Ernie, looking bedraggled and gently frazzled. And sure enough, you realize she became Mrs. Dixie Normus. And you can think of no better way to pay tribute to Sally's memory than asking her about the mayor. So as Violet, you make your way up to her. She is a, we'll say like a Fran Drescher type. Ernie is a guy who is clearly like, you know, quarterback of the high school football team and has done nothing since. He likely went to war, came back, and is once kind of toned athletic body that Sally once or twice admitted to some rather filthy fantasies about, has now gone the way of most of us unfortunate fellows who don't bother to exercise, and is generally softer. He still looks good, but and weirdly seems very content where she seems very frazzled. And the two of them are making their way sort of down the street. He's just saying like, well, I just think the mirrors we have will do. I just don't think we need to buy more. And she's like, but Ernie, we need more mirrors. At which point you interrupt them. Here's my question to you, Red. What the fuck does Violet sound like?
Violet, her name is Violet Jenkins, and she just wants to know where the mayor's office is.
And they stop and they say, Ernie kind of looks at you as though he vaguely recognizes you, but Dixie cuts him off and just says, wait, are you from England?
Yes.
Wow! Is it always raining there? That's what Ernie says he and his war buddies always talk about, is that it rains all the time. And I said it can't rain that much. Only rains a lot here.
I mean, it does rain, I'd say, about 75% of the time, yes.
She turns and slaps him on the arm. She's like, Ernie, I owe you $1. You were right.
I was just wondering, sorry to interrupt your chat about mirrors. I was just hoping that you could point me in the direction of the mayor's office.
The mayor's office? Oh, yes. That's the new guy, right?
Yes, you did just, I heard talk of a new mayor. Should I, you know, if I'm lodging a complaint, like, should I worry about him, or is he a good man, or?
Well, what are you complaining about? Helmfirth is a lovely town. Did you just arrive in Helmfirth?
No. I've been here for a few days.
You know about the unpleasantness. Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to make a good impression. Yeah, yes. He seems fine. Seems like the fine man for the job.
Those really? Could be the 5 words you would use to describe him?
I mean, I could also say he seems okay or decent. I was pretty excited about that Sorry?
You have worms in your brains controlling your mind from
Oh my
Egypt.
God, Adrian Diesel?
Yeah.
You're back in town. It's so good to see you.
Hello. Do you have a worm in your brain?
Oh, Adrian, that's you always joking. Ugh. No, I don't have a worm in my brain. This is the guy. And Ernie's like, yeah, I remember. Hey, hi, Adrian.
I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't realize that you two knew each other. I apologize. It's his way of, he's been having some earaches, and that's kind of his colloquialism for them.
Don't worry, Red. They don't have worms in their ears. They're fine.
I'm sorry. Is your name Violet or Red?
My name is Violet, she says, looking over at Adrian.
Do colors work differently in England? Is it like the metric thing?
Actually, that's very, very good.
We didn't have the metric system back then. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's a thing I've invented that I'm hoping will spread to most places in the world, but specifically not here.
That's a very good observation, actually. That's exactly what you're talking about. Mm. And my friend happens to be colorblind. So anyway, I'm just hoping that, you know, I was just hoping that the mayor was a good person.
Well, we don't really know yet. He seems fine. I mean, they did crack down pretty hard on all the violence after the massacre, but yeah, he seems okay.
And would you agree, sir?
Huh? Oh, yeah, he seems all right. I don't know. TJ seemed pretty cool. I liked that he had a nickname. I used to have a nickname back in high school, you know. I liked him for that. But yeah, this new guy seems fine. I don't know.
Okay.
I remember being Richard. Really excited about him, though.
Grandpa Richard, why is Red talking funny?
I am Uncle Richard. That is, I am the uncle.
Mr. Richter, you have a British niece?
Yeah.
You never mentioned that when I came to buy crystals.
Europe, you know, everything's so close together. Did you say that people used to be very fervent about him, but now they're not?
I mean, he hasn't really done anything yet. He just became mayor. It seems pretty early to tell.
No, that's fair. I just feel like a decline, such a sudden decline in enthusiasm is worth noting.
Well, and Ernie just kind of nods. He's like, oh, I mean, he is a property developer. I understand that's a pretty hard job. So, you know, if he's good at that, he's probably going to be good at mayor. I mean, he seems like he could be the right guy for the job, I guess.
Thank you.
Ernie und, is it Dixie? Is that
yes, Dixie Normus.
Yeah.
Red's eye twitches, but nothing else.
Do you recall when your opinion of the mayor changed? Was perhaps 2 days ago?
We were pretty sad. We were both, we were a TJ'd household. We were done with Haney. I mean, have you seen that awful mural he drew? Ugh, terrible. But yeah, we were pretty big TJ supporters, and you know, we were real sad when Mr. Jate died. That was a real bummer for us. But you know, this new guy seems pretty good. We were very excited about him, and now he's just the mayor. So you know, it's fine. He's just a mayor. Do you ever really think about what mayors do?
No.
Neither did we. So we were really excited about him. But yeah, I don't know. A couple days ago, he became mayor, and I guess he's just fine.
About 2 days ago, you found maybe the honeymoon stage of the election was over?
Well, elections are just so exciting, you know? There's all the banners, and, you know, it's really exciting. And then he gets elected, and you realize, oh, he's just going to be that person who does small things for the town. So yeah, I don't know, I guess. And Ernie's like, yes, it was 2 days ago.
Yes, good, but good. Thank you. I very much appreciate you taking the time to talk to a newcomer. It shows nicely on your town.
Oh, good. We're very nice here, aside from the massacres. Now, come on, Ernie. We've got mirrors to buy.
It was very nice meeting you.
Can you do me a favor?
Oh, no.
Okay, Adrian. Yeah, I mean, I feel bad, but all the times I called you Poindexter.
Yeah, that was not nice, but you could make it up to me. I have 3 new pets coming from the veterinarians. Can you pick them up and drop them off at my house?
I'm just subtly shaking my head.
Ernie's like, and he looks at you, Violet, and he looks back to you, Adrian, and he says, sure, Adrian, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that for you.
Thanks. I'll pay you for your time. And Adrian takes out $5 and gives it to Ernie.
No,
So Ernie pockets the fiver, and as he turns to go, he just leans into you, Violet, and he says, just please don't hurt me and my family, Red. And then he starts walking away.
I can't wait to get my donkeys.
Another fantastic performance, Red, really. I don't know how you do it. These fantastical identities and stories is really something.
Apparently I didn't do it that well.
What do you mean?
Okay, Adrian. I'm not Red in town anymore, at least for the time being, okay? I'm Violet, so that man now knows who I am, and I'm not saying this is the perfect
Wait, he
disguise.
Knows you're Violet?
No, he knows I'm Red. You called me Red in front of them.
But you said you're not Red here, you're Violet.
Okay. From the beginning.
Okay.
Going forward, Addie.
Yeah.
When we are around other people, Doesn't matter who, any other people. I'm Violet, not Red. And I'm going to sound a little funny to your ears.
Okay, and I can enjoy that?
Yes, absolutely, you can.
Yeah, you're going to sound silly.
Yes, I do.
What happens if someone knows you're Red, though? Do I punch them?
I think that's a case-by-case basis kind of thing. I'll let you know.
So if they call you Red, well, you're Violet. Probably punch them.
If I tell you to.
This is getting complicated.
Why don't you know what? And she like holds up, and she just like holds up two thumbs up to him. She's like, if you ever see me do this, you can stop punching.
Okay, that seems kind of unrelated, but I'll allow it.
So having gathered some intel on the state of the worm, what is the general feeling of the party? Do you need to investigate further? Are you satisfied with the response you got? Where are you at?
I'm kind of getting the sense that they might have taken care of it.
It is either that the worms were used to guarantee an election win, and once that happened, they went dormant or they were no longer needed to influence the people, or we did indeed defeat or destroy or kill whatever was influencing the entire town, and it just unfortunately happened to be too late. It seems odd to have that kind of influence over the general population and then just stop leveraging it.
I agree. I would go with the latter explanation, to be honest. From the sound of it, you went through a rather epic trial.
It was unlike anything I have ever even read about.
Or hope to read about ever again in my life. It does indeed sound like you defeated it, whatever it was.
Very good, then. So, the next thing we should think about then is anyone going to come after us for defeating the worm? Is anyone going to seek vengeance on us? Do we need to
Richard,
look out?
Can you roll me an occult check, please?
Occult. LMNO cult. There we go. Normal success.
From your understanding of how not all groups, but some groups manage the sort of mysteries of the mythos, you're not sure that this was so much the case of something that was entirely under the control of certain groups or something that had just been appeased and pointed in a direction by certain groups. So based on your experience, if a group were to lose control of their thing, it might not be traceable to someone. It might just be assumed that the being had lost interest. So they still could come after you, but they could also, much like summoning anything that's kind of beyond mortal comprehension, it could have just fucked off.
Okay. It could be that whatever otherworldly being was controlling our behavior and the behavior of the other people simply, what is the American phrasing, fucked off. Yeah.
Okay. Back in Chicago, sometimes we would have competitors, and Red would say to shut them down. And the way I had to know who to take for a sleep in the woods was to watch who sold the booze and then follow them until they gave money to an important person. So I didn't have to punch and put the first guy to sleep. He's just doing a job. What if the giant worm was just doing a job? Who is the worm giving its money to?
That is a very good question.
The influence of the worm put
Montgomery Griffiths.
Thank you. I don't have the old names in front of my new book. It put Montgomery Graves in the mayoral office, and so that would be, following your logic, Addy, the man to put in the woods.
Yeah, so that's the person who would want to come after us because we stole his booze guy.
Well, this is all very much out of my wheelhouse when it comes to people trying to kill us and us trying to track down people. But I'm assuming you two, having a very colorful lifestyle in Chicago, might have more experience. Do we hit them first? Do we wait for them to attack us? What is going on?
I think we should kidnap the new mayor.
Yeah, and then other people.
That sounds great.
So, having decided to kidnap the mayor, the Mystery Punchers from Boston are off on a new quest. And as you start to make your way back towards the Diesel Mansion to prep for your kidnapping quest, Richter, you catch out of the corner of your eye a poster that someone is shellocking to a wall.
Mm-hmm.
That proudly announces that the King in Yellow will be opening early next week.
It's coming here?
You say to yourself as you stare at a poster?
Yeah, like what are the details of the poster?
Yep, they are coming to the local Helmforth Theater. It will be opening next week.
I immediately snatch a poster from the guy pasting them.
Hey, my posters!
The King in Yellow!
And with that, you hop in your car and the Mystery Punchers set off to kidnap the mayor.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Edgar said to the interviewer he was convinced that the thing out there wasn't a vault.
Yeah, I know what he thought.
Dr. Eggers didn't think it was designed to keep things out.
I know what he thought.
He thought it was designed to keep something in.
Do you even understand the difficulty trying to keep a base like Fathom at the bottom of the ocean from killing everyone in it on a daily basis?
Oh my God.
Everyone hold on to something. I think whatever is on the other side of that door out there, it's not friendly. I think it's trying to get out. That, my friend, is a dire combination.
That's a bad sign.
Get out of the door!
It's spreading like some kind of technological contagion. We can either stop it here or watch the world burn.
Fathom, the first season of Derelict. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Or learn more at DerelictPodcast.com.